which is the place of all fearlessness. So I just wanted to repeat that dream because there's so much chaos going on in the world, within the Krishna movement, and probably for a lot of us within our own lives. And the holy name is our shelter. I know for myself, that's, if I didn't have that, I don't know, I'd probably be dead. Dead or in an insane asylum. That has saved me from the very beginning. I first saw Srila Prabhupada in Tompkins Square Park in 1966. And he was chanting in the park. Somebody brought me over, I lived in New York City. Somebody brought me over to the park, to where he was chanting. And he was teaching the Maha Mantra, telling us what it meant. And I joined along in the chanting at the time. And I didn't join then. And I wasn't even consciously attracted to Srila Prabhupada at the time. I'm always hearing people say they saw Srila Prabhupada and they were immediately attracted and went right away. But I was not consciously attracted. However, I did chant and I was in his presence. And I feel that planted the seed for me. And then I was 17 at the time. And then when I turned 18, as soon as I turned 18, I wanted to leave home. And I moved down to the village. I ended up, Greenwich Village, I ended up moving right where, just a few blocks from the temple. So various events happened. I met devotees and eventually I did join in 1968. But I had to go through some more suffering in my life before I was ready to join the movement. I was just going to tell a little story. In 1971, I was married to Pradyumna, most of you know. And Srila Prabhupada was having a lot of devotees going over to India at that time, and we were invited to go to India. And we first went to London, and we had Aniruddha, my son, with us. He was a year old at the time. Srila Prabhupada had named Aniruddha, and he first saw him when he was 6 months old. I placed him in front of Prabhupada in New York, at the temple in New York, to present him to Prabhupada, and kind of left him there in front of Prabhupada, and Aniruddha started crying hysterically. And so I went to take Aniruddha, and Prabhupada said to me, "Does he always do that?" And I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, he's never done that before." So that was his first meeting with Prabhupada. And then when we went over to Berry Place Temple in 1971 on our way to India, and Srila Prabhupada was having darshan in his room. And a bunch, it was a small room and there was a lot of devotees. It was fairly crowded in there. And we had just gotten there. And Aniruddha, he was a year old and he was getting into everything. He was pretty, at that age, starting to crawl and walk a little bit. And so he was crawling around and he took some coins. And Prabhupada said to me, "Take those coins away from him. He might put them in his mouth and swallow them." And then Aniruddha, few minutes later, he took Prabhupada's cane and starts in the middle of Prabhupada speaking, you know, and he starts knocking, hitting the cane. And Prabhupada said, "Take the cane away. Take the cane away from him." I was getting very anxious, trying to control my kid. Then he went over to Srila Prabhupada's slippers and he started putting one of Prabhupada's slippers on his foot, on his own foot, not Prabhupada's foot. So the devotees saw this, and like a whole bunch of devotees kind of ran to take the slipper away from him. You know, this is a no-no. You don't put the spiritual master's slippers on your own feet. And Srila Prabhupada started laughing and said, "No, leave him. He knows that the foot belongs with the shoe and he is trying to put the two together." So we do not know what the spiritual master is going to say in any given circumstance. And we think certain things, this is how it should be, and then we're surprised. He may say something else. We certainly don't know now. We have instructions, as he said, all the instructions are in his books. We don't really know, you know, it's 40 years later, we don't know what Prabhupada would say about so many different things that are going on now. Anyhow, then the next day, you know, I was so anxious in at Srila Prabhupada's darshan. Oh, okay. So then, I'll just finish this then. So the next day, Srila Prabhupada saw Pradyumna, and he said, "Don't have any more children. One is enough." So I will finish there. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Happy Prabhu, and then followed by Govinda Dasi.
Hare Krishna. For the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to inform you that the work we did with the symphonic music is going to the theaters of the world. Thank you very much. It started in a performance that I did in Houston, and then I was invited to a gentleman's house, and I told him that and he's not a devotee, he's just a very pious person, and I told him that there is a Chinese troupe that goes around and presents Chinese culture. They call it Sheng Yun. And maybe you have seen them. It's a billboard, and there's a lady flying somewhere, and then they present visuals and so on. I went to see it with my wife, and it was so boring. And then I put all of that together, and I understood that we can present something very powerful. And you can imagine what means to bring Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and Govardhan and Tulasi and Nrsimhadev and the gopis and the coward boys and the whole atmosphere of Vrindavan, or Gauranga Karuna, the mellows of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the world, and they're going to pay for it. It's, you know, we are trying to attract people. We're going to bring it to the theaters. And so it's a very exciting time for all of us who are involved. Tosan Krishna Prabhu is now the general manager of the project. And yeah, we're going to the theaters of the United States. Eventually, if Krishna permits, we're going to Europe and Asia and whatever. You know, it's very exciting. And I just wanted to share this with you for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. Govindadasi? Followed by Maitreya, if he's here.
Seeing this incredible feast coming in, I was remembering that when I joined, there weren't any big leaders. Prabhupada was the only leader, because it was in January of 67. And I started cooking for him soon after. And I would walk in with a plate of dal, rice, chapati, and sabji. And he would say, "Oh, when I was in India, everyone would say, 'Swamiji, you can't go to the Western world. They don't have any food there. They only eat meat and potatoes.'" And I would say, "What is that? I shall simply live on bread and potatoes and just see Krishna has sent so much." And then when I see this, I can just imagine Prabhupada sitting here and going, "Just see what Krishna has sent." And so this is how sincere he was in his mission, his desire to start this mission. And last night I had with me a young lady that I brought with me, who's a new person. She doesn't know a whole lot about Krishna consciousness, but she was learning different things. And then she said, "He came to America at 65 or 66, and he left 11 years, all this in 11 years? And I said, "Yeah, probably more like 10 years, more like 10 or 11 years, all of this." And it makes you realize it's not normally possible. It's an incredible thing that, I mean, what do we all have in common here? We come from different walks of life, even different races and different backgrounds, sometimes different countries. But what we all have in common here is our love for Srila Prabhupada and what he's given us in the way of Krishna consciousness. And that's what brings us here repeatedly. And we can't ever lose sight of his greatness. That's the most important thing. Because we come to take things for granted, naturally, because we're forgetful souls. We start forgetting that there was a time when people weren't chanting Hare Krishna all over America, when yoga societies weren't having kirtans, when none of this existed. I mean, I'm almost 70, and I grew up in a society where the word yoga was never even heard of, because I grew up in Texas, not California. So you can imagine, if your hair was this much, I mean, you would get death threats. Men would get death threats if their hair was not, you know, that shaved up military job that they wore back then. It was a different world, and Prabhupada changed this all. The way I see it, it's like the waves of a big boat, they say, moves through the water, and the ocean waves go for thousands of miles when a big boat moves through the water. They even reach other continents. And so when Prabhupada moved through this world for that brief, just 10, 11 years, he changed so much. Now there's animal rights societies, there's yoga societies, there's environmentalists, I just see this as the distant waves of the big boat that's moved through the water. And then there's the lifers like us, me and Kitty Raj and Amarish, and a lot of you here are real Chaitanya Dasi. These are the people that I knew from my younger years, 40 years ago. And we're all still here, even though we may have our differences in different points of view, but Prabhupada is our center. He's our love. He's everything to us. And as we know from Madhuvisa's recent departure, I'm really close friends with Kriya Shakti, who was right there, who helped him at the very last. Prabhupada was present too, and he'll be present for us as well. Anyway, I guess that's my homage. I don't want to take up a lot of time.
More.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. There's so much to say, but the most important thing is to remember Prabhupada's greatness and not to minimize him in any way, because he's done something that none of us, nobody's done. Nobody. In this whole, Western history or Eastern history, whatever, he's done something very special, and it's snowballing. It hasn't stopped, in spite of all of the problems that the material nature, the hurdles that have been thrown in the way of our movement. So many things have happened. We've had lawsuits, we've had fall downs, we've had this, we've had that. But look what, we're still here, and we're still chanting Hare Krishna. And that was the most important thing. He wanted us to chant Hare Krishna and spread the holy name, and he wanted his books to go out to everyone in the world, his message. So that's, we're still going on here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Is Maitreya here?
Yes.
Okay. Followed by Harinam, Chintaman, Devi Dasa.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept on this glorious day of your Vyasa Puja celebration my most humble obeisances. So many times you traveled fearlessly around the world, disseminating tirelessly the pure message of Bhagavad Dharma, and we in turn must dedicate ourselves to faithfully repeating that message and not adulterating it with the nonsense derived from ulterior motives. By following your instructions, which are not merely the germs of directives for leading a comfortable social life, brutish mentalities are transformed into those of divine qualities. By these instructions, you empower us to boldly and courageously become responsible by giving up the activities of sinful existence and the bogus affections of society, friendship, and love. You have given us the vision of the spiritual path, and we, if we are not to remain blind, must see with that vision in offering compassion, friendship, and respect, and in taking up association where before only envy existed. By your Bhagavad Dharma discourses, fortunate souls come to understand the nature of enlightenment and what constitutes the perfection of life. And what was hitherto a matter of interest or curiosity for them becomes a serious matter of life and death. What was hitherto a matter of personal choice becomes an imperative for all. And what was hitherto a matter of speculation becomes a matter of conclusive truth. These truths, accepted without interpretation, become validated in the daily experiences of surrendered souls, and their feet leave the ground, and their hitherto grim countenances become transformed in the joy and luster of goodness. No more the petty wranglings of false ego, the ashen faces of inertia and procrastination, or the furrowed brow of bewilderment. Nor indeed the smug satisfaction derived from academic interest, opinion, and fallacious logic. Your appearance brought hope where there was none before, and faith where it was lacking. But more than that, the practical opportunity to shed the burden of our imagined material duties and return to the everlasting object of our abiding love, Lord Krishna. You made it abundantly clear that all we have to do in order to make your lives successful was to follow and not change anything and not make compromises and certainly not start imagining what is favorable or unfavorable for the execution of devotional service. In short, we just had to obey. Any soul who has a glimmer of appreciation for this imperative must, in the progress of their spiritual life, become increasingly dedicated and thankful for the divine blessings made available by Lord Krishna to the lost souls of this age through your course's mercy. I pray to become your humble servant, Maitreya Das.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Nam Chintamani. We'll see how much time is left. And then, Shonika, you want to say something? Since you're never here, this would be once in a lifetime. I think you should speak something.
Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhivacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. Your compassionate heart is the second sun within this world lost in the darkness of Kali Yuga. Your mood is identical to Prahlad Maharaj, who opened his soul to the Lord when he prayed. My dear Lord Nrsimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered you to go to the West, you allow that instruction to penetrate the core of your being, igniting such a fire of determination you were willing to sacrifice your own life to see it fulfilled, considering every inconvenience, pain, and difficulty undertaken, love offerings only to your beloved Lord, and every success only due to your Guru Maharaj. You circumambulated the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, sweeping that sacred shrine, wetting it with your tears, piercing his heart with your fervent prayers, begging for the ability to fulfill your Guru's orders. We were here, lost in our hallucinations, blind to our degradation, never guessing, as we wasted our rare human birth, someone on the other side of the world was praying for our deliverance. You came into Kali Citadel, his capital of America, his headquarters of New York, and found us, bewildered, wandering, living naked in trees, having sex like monkeys, intoxicated, confused, proclaiming independence and liberation while completely bound by the laws of nature, heading toward the darkest regions. And determined to save us, you offered Lord Sri Krishna your 70-year-old body as an instrument of his will and divine compassion. You cooked for us, cleaned up after us, encouraged, preached, chanted, and initiated us. You created unlimited services to engage our busy, unsteady Kali Yuga minds, installing deities, engage us in publishing your books, painting windows to the spiritual world, sending us out to distribute your transcendental literatures and open new temples, and revealing the glories of Nam Sankirtan by decorating the streets of the world with Ratha Yatra parades and our colorful presence in daily chanting parties. You taught us to appreciate and distribute widely a whole new genre of food, Krishna Prasadam, a delight to heart and palate, and forgave insults, insanities, offenses. Just take, you told us. Lord Gauranga is giving. Just take. Never mind your backgrounds, your fall downs, your disqualifications. I have qualified you. Please, do not stay and rot here. Go back home, back to Godhead. You are not this body. This is not your home. Tirelessly, you repeated your message into our dull Kali Yuga ears, knowing that eventually something would penetrate and we would start to wake up. You hardly slept, translating in the night literatures more precious, sublime, and important than all the books and all the libraries and all the world. Well, we worried you constantly with our quarreling, pride, and foolish behavior, dreaming of ascending the heights of glory while struggling with our senses and minds, unmindful of the importance of your mission, which you sought to fulfill with every breath, translating in the only quiet hours when we slept, writing the direct dictations from the Lord within. 14 times around the globe you traveled, giving hundreds of lectures, speaking about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names and inspiring us to follow your example, and setting up the perfect morning program with all the most valuable spiritual activities which could award the highest benefit. You wanted us to be saved, to believe the call of Lord Gauranga, to understand this was the last chance, to feel the urgency and not waste more kalpas in the ocean of material misery. In 1972 in LA, you once said, whether you are lusty or a thief or a murderer or whatever may be, somehow or other you must develop this eagerness, this desire. I must see Krishna. Then Krishna will be seen. You always gave us hope, Srila Prabhupada. You wanted us to believe in the all-compassionate, all-merciful Lord, so different than the God of wrath we knew from our Western upbringing, and that the Lord wanted us to come back, how he sent his dearmost servant into hell for one last rescue mission before it was too late. We lost our way as soon as you left, Srila Prabhupada. Our boat has been off course for so long, although we are trying to finally bring it back. It's very difficult. Without your prayers and those of our parampara, we would have been finished. Please, Srila Prabhupada, we fall on the ground with straw between our teeth. Help us to always remember the goal for which you gave your life, to become true lovers and humble servants again of Lord Sri Krishna, endowed with virtuous qualities, capable of being touchstones of change for a planet in chaos. Even when it seems that demoniac living entities are stronger and have the upper hand, please imbue our hearts with the firm faith that Lord Chaitanya's moon will rise and flood the earth with Krishna Prem, as he promised. Please help us to remember in the dark times that in the Lord's Leelas, he often waits till what we may perceive as the final hour to turn around the situation and favor the devotees and the devas. And that as tiny conditioned souls, we cannot understand his divine plans and purpose, but they are always to do good for all living beings. Please strengthen our hearts, help us to become free of doubt and fear, and to always remember that the Lord wants all his parts and parcels to come home, even the ones who have committed the most sinful and terrible deeds. Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mercy is for everyone. Simply accepting with a humble, repentant heart our wrongdoings is enough to invoke his unlimited compassion. Let us pray for each other and our movement instead of humiliating and destroying, which is not the Lord's mood, as evidenced by his careful exchange with King Indra after he sought to destroy all of Krishna's dearmost devotees. Let us stop misusing the internet to criticize and condemn, but use it properly as Krishna's energy to encourage with compassion, understanding free will, and that some will be so unfortunate as to not take advantage of the Lord's mercy and continue their stay in Maya's prison, knowing that by his arrangement and the suffering undergone, eventually the heart will open to humility and repentance. May you always remain our pole star, your books, instructions, and example, the compass of our lives, individually and collectively as a society, so that one day our purified hearts will also burn with the compassion of true Vaishnavas, and we will once again deliver to the Lord our free will in complete surrender, becoming empowered instruments of his mercy in this world, and thereby fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prophecy that in every town and village his name will be known. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for your love. Thank you for caring about us so much. Oh, glories to you, beloved and foremost disciple of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, direct emissary from Goloka Vrindavan, trusted general of the Lord, sent to deliver this world from impersonalism and voidism. Oh, glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you.
Thank you. So we have... Okay, Shaunaka Rishi is going to speak very quickly. Shaunaka Rishi, there's so much to say about him, but he is one of the most cutting-edge leaders in Europe, responsible for the Oxford preaching program and so many other things. And he's just visiting us for a few days. And after he speaks, we'll have the Pushpanjali. And then tonight after the play at 7 o'clock, we're going to continue sharing. If you're on the list and you come here, then you'll be allowed, you'll have the opportunity of speaking this evening, and more of you can speak also, and I hope you do stay, because it's very special. I was just thinking, tomorrow, Wednesday, I leave, and I'm going to travel to places where there's no Prabhupada disciples. I'm the only one. So this is very special. So if we can all stay tonight and churn the ocean, it would be lovely, as the British say. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. I've been told to speak quickly.
Speak louder.
And louder. So there's a saying, I love gardening. My wife and I were avid gardeners, and there's a saying in gardening, plant for tomorrow. You don't plant for today, you plant for the future. Otherwise, oak trees are never planted, because after 60 years, they haven't even matured. And if we look at our parampara, which is at the back of the room, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he started a little movement that didn't go very far, really. He sent books to different universities and places that no one really read. But he started something. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that all over India. He sent some people to Germany and some people to England, but didn't really take off. So he just did the next thing. So what's the next thing? Each of them did the next thing. And we don't look at Bhaktivedanta and say, well, he didn't do anything, because we're here. Look at us. It's because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Prabhupada says that he is the pioneer. He gives him all the credit. Yet, practically, he didn't do a lot. I mean, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he didn't do anything. Didn't start any temples, didn't distribute any books, didn't even write any books. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that's why we're here. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, made it international. And because of him, every Gaudiya who comes to the West has to associate themselves with Prabhupada. They all say, oh, I knew Srila Prabhupada. I knew him so well before. They have to, because he's the man who did it. He's the one who gets all the credit for bringing Lord Chaitanya to the West. Nobody can take that credit. It's done. It's a done deal. Yet he started a number of temples. So much left to be done, and he knew that. He knew he had limited time. He knew that he couldn't see the tree mature. Us, what's our plan? What's our duty? What is it that we have to do? That's the next step. That's the thing before us. And there's a little joke. What's the difference between ISKCON and a pot of yogurt? Yogurt has culture. And unfortunately, there's a truth in that, because Prabhupada's mark of civilization was a place where you take care of children, women, cows, brahmanas, old people. How are we doing, lads? Pretty good, eh? I remember when I joined the movement, we used to give lectures, and the Christians, they have their Ten Commandments. And of course, you only give commandments like that to people who are killing and committing adultery. And as devotees, we don't do those things. But look at the commandments we're having to give ourselves, how we treat women, how we have treated our children. You know, we're having to give ourselves commandments. Don't have sex with your children. You know, it's getting a little weird. How we take care of cows, there's some terrible histories in ISKCON. How we take care of the old, let's see. And Brahmins, we never talk about that. We don't really have any. We can't identify them. They keep very, very, very low because we don't understand what to do with them, because they're the awkward people in the back of the class who always say, but what about, and some temple president is trying to do something, he's saying, but what about the most necessary part of society? It's where culture comes from, thinking. Who's doing the thinking? Who's doing our thinking for us? And if we don't know, we're in trouble. We don't have the basis of civilization. We don't have the basis of culture. And I think the next step is not more temples, etc. It's culture. And from that, everything will come, schools and temples and the fraternity that we talked about. But we need to develop our culture, and that's based on education. We need to develop education, all kinds of programs for education. We really don't have enough. We really don't know what we're doing most of the time, even when it comes down to the simple thing is, how do you bring up a kid? That's grim. So Prabhupada has given us, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they have given us such wonderful gifts. They have given their lives to bring this movement to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. What is our duty? What is our mission? It's not clear. And that's not good. If you don't know where you're going, you'll never know how to get there. Or if you did get there, you wouldn't even recognize it. Our job is to find out what's the next thing for us to do. Our contribution to the next generation. The thing that we do that in this lifetime doesn't give us any credit. The thing that we do that we don't see the maturation of. When we're involved in projects that have to be finished before I die, you can nearly guarantee that that's not worth it. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not what our acharyas have shown us, that this is how you plan. It's sattvic. It's long-term, way beyond our lifetime. And if we're involved in that program, we're linked into our acharyas. Who's doing that thinking? We have to produce those people. We have to nurture those people. We have to find the thinkers in our communities and give them money to go to university and study subjects that don't look like they're going to get a job. It doesn't matter. Let them go and study all kinds of humanities subjects so that they can learn how to think and become our thinkers. The world experts on Gaudiya Vaishnavism are not Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That's 50 years later. That's not a good sign. We haven't taken over that market. When are we going to do that? We're not the world experts on ourselves. That's just pathetic. What's the next thing to do? There's so many things we have to do, but education is the next global thing that we have to start thinking about. Our people have to be given the opportunities, not just to get a job in the business sector or get a job in this and that. It's not about jobs. It's not about money. When was it ever about money? We have to produce these brahmanas, our thinkers. And that would be an offering to Prabhupada. Feel Prabhupada ki.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. So, we're going to do the Pushpanjali. And before we do, we just had to make a